Amen. Let's bow in prayer again this evening and let us seek the Lord's face as we come to consider the message tonight. Father, we thank Thee for an open Bible. We thank Thee for the message of the Gospel. And O God, we pray tonight that You would come, Lord, and speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, especially for those who are still strangers to grace and to God. O God, as they would listen to this message, we pray that You would draw them lovingly and eternally to the foot of the cross. O God, help us this night to seek to persuade men to come to the Saviour. We ask Thee, Lord, that as we do so, O God, that You would fill us afresh with Your gracious Holy Spirit. And to Thee, Lord, we will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honour. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Man's salvation is not determined by what man does, but what God does. There are three essential elements in salvation: election, redemption, and regeneration. Election opens the door of mercy to the sinner. Redemption removes the obstacle of sin and satisfies divine justice. And regeneration gives spiritual life to the sinner. Without these elements, no one could ever be saved. No one could ever be born again of the Spirit of God. But you know, there's another essential element in the saving of the souls of men. And of course, that is evangelization. This brings us to the means God uses in accomplishing His will in the saving of souls. The truth is that God speaks to men through men. The means that God uses to bring salvation to the lives of sinners is the use of human instrumentality. Acts chapter 26, verse 16, Paul tells Agrippa how and why the Lord appeared to him and made him a preacher of the gospel. Look at it. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. Therefore, in God's sovereign plan, He has chosen as a part of that sovereign plan to bring salvation to this world through the witness of God-ordained preachers, God-ordained ministers. I'm sure we're familiar with Romans chapter 14 and verse 15. We read, Now how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Thus in Acts chapter 26, this portion of scripture in which we have read, Paul the preacher is seeking to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian. And of course, child of God, it is God's will that you and I seek to persuade men to be saved and to become Christians. And I pray in this day and age in which we live, whoever we come into contact with, that we will do that. Because God has ordained that you and I, as His servants, as His witnesses, seek to persuade sinners to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, very simply, I want you to notice at the close of this service, I want you to notice how Paul sought to persuade King Agrippa to become a Christian. And my friend, if you're not saved in the meeting tonight, I want you to listen very carefully. And I pray that God will take His word and write it upon your heart and write it upon your soul. First of all, Paul sought to persuade King Agrippa to become a Christian through preaching the word of God to him. Take a look with me at verse 22 of Acts 26. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Here's what Paul said, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. As Paul sought to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian, the great apostle preached the word of God to him, making particular reference to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 23. That Christ should suffer. Here was Paul's message, the message that he preached. to Agrippa and to all that were gathered that day, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Here is God's ordained means of reaching the lost. It is through the foolishness of preaching that we are to seek to persuade men to come to Christ and become Christians. My friend, that's why each Sunday as you gather into God's house, we stand behind this pulpit, we open up the Word of God, we read it, and then we seek to expound it. The reason why we do that is because we want to persuade you to become a Christian. We want to persuade you to become a child of God. And we want, through the preaching of the gospel, to teach you and to preach unto you your only way of salvation, and that is through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17 and 18 we read these words, "For Christ sent me not to baptize," that's what Paul said, "but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And then verse 21 we read this, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You see, when the truth of the gospel goes forth through the means of preaching, God uses that preached word to reveal his will to the sinner, and thus bringing them under conviction of sin, draws them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why preaching is so important. That's why preaching is vital. Sad today to say that in many churches the pulpit is in the corner. The Bible is a closed book. And very little is preached in this day and age in which we live. And yet, when we turn to the Word of God, when we consider the New Testament church, when we study the book of Acts, we see that God's servants went forth and preached the word and uplifted Christ. And the reason they did that was because they wanted to persuade men to be saved. They wanted to persuade sinners to become Christians. And of course, as they did so, many were saved. And we have seen in the course of these studies, as Paul has gone on these three great missionary journeys, how the Lord has blessed the proclamation of his word. But not only through the Apostle Paul, but through the other apostles as well, through other servants of Christ as well. And of course, we remember when God's servant went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Philip, that the whole city turned from their sin and sought the Lord. And we have seen many examples of this. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, we love you for the Lord. We want to see you saved. We want tonight to persuade you to become a Christian. That's why we're preaching to you. That's why we're seeking to reveal to you God's precious truth and open up what the Bible says. You have a soul that needs to be saved, a soul that will spend eternity either in heaven or hell. The only way whereby you can make preparation for heaven is by coming and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I would preach that to you tonight. I would declare this truth to you this evening. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it's imperative that you listen to the preaching of the gospel, that you heed the preaching of the gospel, and that you come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Oh, never despise the preaching of the gospel, sinner. Never turn your back on the preaching of the gospel. Whether you hear it in church or whether you hear it in the street corner, wherever you hear it, God's word is going forth. Listen, because men are just seeking to persuade you to become a Christian. Paul preached to Agrippa, and he preached to Festus, And he preached to Felix, and he preached to Bernice, and the message he preached was Christ crucified, Christ resurrected. And he presented in the simplest way he could the message of the gospel to these people, and especially to Agrippa. But take a look there with me again. We're not going to read all these verses. We have already read them. But you'll notice, secondly, that Paul sought to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian, not only through the preaching of God's word, but through personal testimony of Paul's life. Now, from verses 6 to 19, and we noticed these verses this morning, the Apostle Paul gave his testimony. In other words, Paul here, as he seeks to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian, gives a personal word of testimony. He tells King Agrippa how he was saved on the Damascus Road, how the Lord spoke to him, and how he became a Christian. Now, we're not going to take the time to read all those verses again, but you take the time to read them. Let me summarize them for you. Paul here, as he stands before King Agrippa and the others that were gathered that day, he relates to them how he met the Lord and how the Lord spoke to him and how the Lord saved him and what the Lord meant to him from that day right to this very day that he was standing before these men. You know, child of God, one of the best ways for you and I to seek to persuade men to come to Christ is giving our testimony. Giving our testimony. Telling our workmates how the Lord saved us. Telling our family members how the Lord saved us and what the Lord means to us. And how the Lord has delivered us from sin and from judgment to come. How we met the Savior. That's what Paul's doing here. As he seeks to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian. You know, it's an interesting study when you study the testimony of God's saints throughout the Bible. Now, we haven't got the time tonight, but let me just draw your attention to a number of them. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 26 and turn over to a very familiar passage of Scripture, John and the chapter 4. And in this portion of Scripture, of course, we have the woman of Samaria getting saved. And it's interesting to note that after the woman of Samaria got saved, she went back into the city and she invited the men of the city to come and see Jesus. And the way in which she sought to persuade them to come and see Jesus was through her personal testimony. Look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, if you study John chapter 4, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with the chapter. But if you're not familiar with the chapter, you study it and you will read how the Lord Jesus saved this woman and the conversation that he had with this woman. And he revealed to her her sin. He revealed to her that he was the Messiah. And she believed him, and she got saved, and then she went back into the city, and she wanted to win the men of the city, the people of the city, to Christ. And she wanted to persuade them to come and see Jesus, and she gave her testimony to them. She says, come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Messiah? Look at verse 30. Look what it says in verse 30 of John 4. Then they went out of the city and came unto Jesus. And many of the Samaritans, now listen to this, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Oh, my friend, I would seek to persuade you tonight to become a Christian. And I would seek to persuade you by telling you what Jesus has done for me. He has saved me. On the 13th of September 1976, as a boy of 13 years of age, he spoke to me and saved me. And he gave me peace in my heart and joy in my soul. He's given me everlasting life. And from that day to this, he has been a friend that has stuck closer than a brother. He has never left me nor forsaken me. He has always led me and guided me. And he has blessed me and spoken to me through his word Oh, I want to persuade you tonight to become a Christian because of what Jesus has done for me. Because what the Lord Jesus has done for me and what the Lord Jesus has done for others in this gospel meeting tonight, and there are many here this evening, and they could get up into this pulpit and they could testify to the saving and keeping power of Jesus Christ in their life. What the Lord has done for us, He can do for you. He can change your life. He can give you everlasting life. He can give you peace in your soul, peace in your heart. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to the demoniac of Gadara in Mark 5 verse 19, after he was converted, after he was saved. Listen to what Jesus said to him. Albeit Jesus suffered him not to go with him, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Here the Lord was exhorting this man, after he had become a Christian, to go home to his family and to testify to them, to seek to persuade them to be saved because of what the Lord Jesus had done for him, he could do for them. Turn over to Psalm 40 for a moment, just very quickly, and you'll read David's testimony. Here's what David said, the psalmist. And of course, we have many testimonies recorded throughout the Word of God. And here is one that we have in the Old Testament. And of course, David was only a young boy when the Lord saved him, a shepherd boy. But here's David's testimony. And through this testimony tonight, David would seek to persuade you, sinner, to come to Christ. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Isn't that tremendous? Oh, isn't it wonderful when we hear a testimony? And many a soul has been saved through listening to the testimony of someone who has got saved. And here's David giving his testimony. In Psalm 66 verse 16, the psalmist said this, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And in Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is standing before King Agrippa, and he's seeking to persuade him to become a Christian. King Agrippa acknowledges this. He says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And as Paul sought to persuade him to be a Christian, preached the gospel to him, he revealed unto him the person and work of Jesus Christ and what the Savior had done for him upon the cross. But also he gave a personal word of testimony, because this salvation that Paul was talking about was real. It was real, because Paul had experienced it himself. Paul could tell it firsthand what the Lord had done for him. And he was telling Agrippa, listen, what the Lord has done for me, the Lord can do for you. Well, my friend tonight, whoever you are, no matter what your circumstances may be, maybe you're far down the road of iniquity. Maybe you have rejected Christ for many years. It doesn't make any difference. The Lord wants to save you tonight. He wants you to become a Christian. He wants you to repent of your sin by faith. Trust the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer. And I would seek to persuade you tonight to become a Christian through preaching the gospel to you, but also by testifying to you what Jesus has done for me, he can do for you. I wonder, is there someone here this evening and the Lord has been speaking to your heart? And deep down in your soul, you know that you are not right with God, and you have no peace in your heart, and you know that if you were to die right now, you'd be lost forever. And my friend, that's the truth. You would be lost forever. But thank God this evening, you can become a Christian. You can leave God's house redeemed and on your way to heaven. You can leave God's house with your sins forgiven. You can leave God's house knowing that you'll never be lost in hell. You can leave God's house knowing that your soul is prepared for the mansions above. But turn back to Acts chapter 26. You'll notice something else here. Paul sought to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian through the powerful application to Agrippa's conscience. Look what we read there in verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Notice how the apostle makes the application of the gospel very, very personally to Agrippa. He speaks to Agrippa personally. He singles him out. He calls him by name. It's not just a general message. No, Paul here is coming particularly and to speak to Agrippa. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost, Paul, thou persuadest me, underline that, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, accept these bonds. Paul challenged King Agrippa personally. Note that, underline that. Paul spoke to King Agrippa personally. You know, this was a feature of Paul's ministry. Indeed, as he sought to persuade men to become Christians, he challenged them on a personal level, time and time and time again. Just turn back a couple of pages. We've already dealt with this passage. But look at Acts chapter 24. And we can see this also when Paul preached the gospel to Felix. Look at verse 24 of chapter 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, Paul, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Listen, Paul here is applying the truth to Felix's heart and Felix's life and Felix's conscience. He's speaking to the man individually. He's telling Felix that he someday will stand in the judgment if he dies without Christ. He's telling Felix personally that he, as an individual, needs to repent of his sin and turn from his sin. And he is, if you like, putting this man's back against the wall. And he's getting right into his face. And he's saying, listen, Felix, you need to be saved. And you need to come to Christ now. And that's what he was doing when he spoke to Agrippa. Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Oh, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, dear child of God, tonight, how we need to seek to persuade men. Maybe we're not forceful enough. Maybe we hold back too much. Certainly Paul's not holding back. My friend, if you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, I want to single you out tonight. I want you to realize that this message is for you. This message is for you. It's not for the person sitting beside you. It's not for someone else in this meeting. It's for you. You see, the truth is, you have a soul that will exist for all eternity. You have a soul that, if you die without Christ, will be in hell. You have a soul that needs to be saved. You tonight, you need to become a Christian this evening. So often, sinners, ungodly men and women, the unsaved, they come into God's house and they listen to the Word of God, but somehow they seem to apply the message to everyone else. They seem to apply the message to the person sitting beside them or the person sitting in the far side of the church from them. But the truth is this message is for you. This message is for your soul this evening. And here we have this great servant of the Lord. And though at the beginning he was on trial, we have seen that in the course of these studies. And his accusers come and accuse him. And of course they accuse him falsely. And they couldn't prove one thing against him. And everything, every accusation they brought before him, Paul could answer it. And then all of a sudden, the tables are all turned. And it is as if Paul is the judge. It is as if Paul is the king. It is as if Paul is the governor. And when he starts to preach and he starts to testify, then he starts to apply the word to these kings and governors' hearts. And all of a sudden the tables are turned. My God was working. There's no doubt that the Lord was working in the heart of Felix, in the heart of Festus, in the heart of Agrippa, in the heart of all those that were there that day. Sad thing is, we don't read of them getting saved. We don't read of Agrippa getting saved and coming to Christ. He was almost persuaded to be a Christian, but the truth is, he never did become a Christian. And although Felix thought about it, he said to Paul, "Well, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for thee and hear thee again in these matters." But he never had a more convenient season, because we never read of him coming and trusting Christ as his Savior. Oh, my friend, when the history of this world is written, when the history of your life is written, and on the day of judgment, your life will be revealed to you again. Because the Bible says that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. And you will stand on that day. If you die without Christ as your Savior, you will stand before God on that day, and your life will be rehearsed in front of you. From the day you were born until the day you died. And that part of your life where you sat in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church will be rehearsed before you as well. What I said, what I preached, how I pleaded with you to come to Christ, it will all be rehearsed. And what a sad day it's going to be when you were almost a Christian, when you almost stepped out for Christ. The Lord was speaking to you deep down in your heart. You wanted to become a Christian. Deep down in your heart, you wanted to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer. Deep down in your soul, you wanted to turn from your sin. But instead of doing that, you were just almost persuaded to be a Christian. And you walked out. And as your history is rehearsed in front of you on the day of judgment, every Sabbath will be rehearsed that you walked out. Every meeting that you were in will be rehearsed that you walked out. The record will be clear. Just as the record is clear here regarding the life of these men and women that we have set before us in this portion of Scripture. But oh friend, I would seek tonight to persuade you. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Through the preaching of the word. Through personal testimony. What Jesus has done for me, he can do for you. And I would seek to apply it personally to your heart and to your soul and to your conscience. My friend, you need tonight to turn and believe. You need to get right with God. You need to get right with God. And you need to get right with God tonight. I wonder, will you get right with God tonight? Now, will you make your peace with God? Young person, older person. Will you seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near? I pray that God will give you the grace. Let us all pray.